Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
Kane, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jordan, and I want to tell you about the opportunity we have today to be friends with people who will be friends forever, because a friend's a friend forever when the Lord's the Lord of them.
Yeah, I was going to say that conditional statement's important. And yeah. With that conditional statement, you also get the added feature of that friend never saying never.
You know, my friends have really helped me find my place in this world.
My friends have helped me find my face in this world.
ML for the win. I actually was looking up some Mark Lowry videos for a youth group a couple weeks back. It was great.
Okay. Was not expecting a Mark Lowry reference.
if you want to go to some old videos for a good laugh, Mark Lowry has some good stuff out there. I remember, we actually went to a few of his live shows. He signed my cast 1 year.
Oh, my word. Really?
Yeah. Yep. It was good. Funny man. Really enjoyed him. But anyways, back to the topic. Today, we are going
to talk... Just real quick. Wasn't there like a music video where he was making fun of that song?
Oh,
and he like
yes,
went down to
has...
the operating table and came up as Stephen Curtis Chapman?
Yes.
I thought so.
So Stephen Curtis was, he had his cameo in there. he has a lot of funny songs. But yeah, my place in this world. And he's like this ugly guy. And then he has this, all the surgery and all the ladies love him. And it ends with him getting hit by a car. And then he wakes up from his dream and he's like, oh no. So that was fun. And then he also did, instead of I can do it all? No, see it all? I don't know. He did, I can eat it all.
Oh, man.
Whatever I require, it's fat that I require because I'm a butterball. I'm wider than I'm tall. I'm pure cholesterol. Yeah, I can eat it all. So he had a couple fun parodies, like kind of Christian Weird Al. With a bigger chin.
But no afro.
Yes. And a comedy skit that would go along with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I went to a show of his in Fargo, and I didn't think it was particularly funny, but the people around me must have just thought it was the best thing since sliced cheese, because I remember everyone laughing super hard at it and said, this is funny, but not in the gut busting way, but in the, yeah, this is actually funny. Like, I wasn't laughing so hard, but people around me were. So good for them. Glad they appreciated that.
Yeah. There you go. So on friendship, this might be weird as we're talking about being a resource to parents and ministering and serving parents. But to close out this month, we wanted to talk about also being a friend to parents. And that might sound kind of like warm and fuzzy and all that stuff.
Or cheesy as all get out.
It cheesy, yes. Kind of like, ooh, Christian warmth fuzzies. But there's some legitimacy here too. And I don't want to say like, this shouldn't force your hand. I know that there's sometimes you have affinity with certain people and maybe not with others. That's natural. That's okay. But I wonder if sometimes we don't take advantage of the opportunity to really develop friendships with the parents of our students. We can spend a lot of time trying to be friends with the kids and invest in them relationally, but maybe miss over the parents. So today we wanted to focus a little bit on that aspect of ministry, of being a friend to parents. So can you think of some reasons why this might be important, Dan?
I think you would be able to have a greater open door if people knew that you genuinely cared about them more than professionally, but relationally. I think there is an opportunity for you to distinguish that, so people will be more open to come to you on significant things if you are reaching out to them with, I don't want to say insignificant things, but when it's not a trial or in the mundane periods of life, if you are there putting in the time, sweat equity, as a former pastor of mine put it, you can't beat it. You can't beat sweat equity and what that opens the door for. I credit that sweat equity that he put in as to my family being welcomed into the church that we eventually switched over to from the ELCA when we left the ELCA and joined the AFLC. Part of that was because our pastor was driving our farm trucks for us. And, you know, we'd ride with him and ministry of presence. So when you are doing mundane stuff with your people, shows that you genuinely care. And there's a word that we have thrown around, and I'll throw it around now. It's being incarnational. The attitude of Jesus coming in, being with us in our mess. All of it, the whole sum total, not just during tribulations and trials and challenges and hardships, but in the middle of everything going on. I mean, there's a times where I read the Gospels and I wonder, like, how much Jesus is joking around with his disciples, like enjoying life with them. And I think he does that quite a bit, but we don't really see that too much. But there's this this hint of it in John 14 where he says, "I've called you friends," because that is what we are, and it's this beautiful picture. Like, you know what, Jesus builds that kind of relationship with the people who follow him, and he invites us to call him friend. He's still our Lord and Savior, so there's still that respect due and acknowledgement of that. But he's not this unapproachable deity. He is one who has come and shared our burdens with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think of some other added things too. Yes, like you said, even just as we talked about last week, we had a conversation about, you know, just that investment of groups getting together, people who've gone through some experiences, and how to develop those contacts and know those people and stories. It comes to the fact of, you know, spending that time with them. And so that's going to be largely, you know, done through this process of friendship and time. And I also say this too, another key positive to this is that you need friends in ministry. And so this is kind of a self-serving thing, like to be able to have people to just enjoy time together with. This can be such a huge plus to ministry too. When you get to have your youth group kids in the context of their family, enjoying things together with their family, like taking in a game together or having a meal together, a picnic or something, you know, you can have a whole new side of connection and ministry with them and just as a whole. So there's a professional element to that, but there's also that personal element of just, you are also a part of this body and you're not above it. And these friendships can really help you just remember your place in the family.
Yeah. There is an incredible amount of strengthening that happens too when you allow that to overlap from being professional, and you are. You should view yourself as kind of this ministry professional. Not kind of, but you are. Something that you desire to grow in. But ministry, the job that you were called to do, is also one that opens the door for this to take place. And Jordan, I mean, you alluded to the fact that there's definitely people that we are drawn to, that we prefer to be with. And even when we do try to be friends with parents, there's always going to be some kind of the, well, at least we can maybe just meet on a mutual level of respect. Maybe not necessarily friends, but they will know that I'm here and I do care for them. And you should extend that kind of relational bridge to them, or that olive branch. I think one of the greatest instances of this in our ministry, and it was so kind of insignificant when it happened, was when we invited people from our churches, our three churches, to come sledding at our place for winter. a couple people brought their snowmobiles, so there was a ride back up the hill, and those we had kids running the snowmobiles, so they it was their snowmobiles, so they knew how to operate it. And we just said, you guys are the ones who will do this, no one else. If you guys want to go sledding, that's fine, but you guys are the ones going to operate the snowmobile. And we just had a blast, and we had adults and parents of these kids, and it was really just an invitation for Sunday school, but we had other people like youth parents come out. We just said, yeah, absolutely. Open door policy. Come hang out at our place. Absolutely. And we built a campfire and we had hot dogs and s'mores and hot chocolate. And the kids were just up and down. I mean, they tore our hill up. It was awesome. And you got to the end of the day and you were just exhausted. And I remember looking back at the pictures we took. It's like, I didn't even think like, We had so many people here. Like, we want people not just to know where we live, but we want people to be with us. We want to be known by the people of our church. And we want people to know us. Like, we want that kind of dynamic relationship. And it was just a beautiful picture here of like, yeah, you know what? We need to make more time to kind of have fun with our families like this.
Sure. Well, and I'd even say, too, that you might be meeting a need that they might not realize that they have as well. Like, I can think of, well, I'll say this. Being a larger family with having six kids, we don't necessarily get invited places very often. Like, sometimes it's just because we have a table built for four, and that's just what our family is used to. So, to think about having you guys over would be pretty crazy. And that's something we get used to. But then there's also just the reality for, I'd say, any family with young kids, maybe particularly, because it's kind of the stage of life I'm in, where it's just hard to get out and hard to kind of engage in these conversations and relationships because, like, life is about nap times and whatever. And but you get a family that understands that, and you're invited in for just, like, hey, this is going to be an hour because I know we've got like nap times and whatever that we're, so it's going to be short and quick, but that's totally fine. You might have families that are feeling isolated and alone. And I would even say this kind of points to just the challenge that we have as a society of being like so connected, but so isolated at the same time, to buck that trend and to have people engage face to face. You might be providing a thing that the parents need too, because parents, some might have good networks, some might really not. And yeah. I can think of something that's just like, so our church, we've had something that the elders have been doing this past year is a pastor will assign people in the congregation for each person of the elders to like intentionally connect with in a given period, like a month or so until the next meeting. And there's quite a few that have chosen to do things like meals. And funny story, like my family got invited out one time, and like I said, that doesn't happen very often. So one of these guys was an elder, and so I was like, like I wonder if we were his name. And so then the next meeting, he's like, yeah, we had a good visit, like with the person on my card, right, Jordan? I was like, I knew it. And he had a good joke. He's like, well, we've had you over before, haven't we? He's like, nope. And he's like, oh, well, we had a good time. We're gonna fix that. So, you know, it was an ongoing invitation, which is good. But I've seen just different opportunities, like for me too, as a leader, that's given me an extra reason to get to know other families. And we had someone over just this past week, and they shared about, you know, they had some struggles just going on with their, some just challenges with marriage and stuff. And so, you know, this wouldn't have been something that we would have known about, like that loneliness. But I think in that moment, we were able to meet a person's need to bring a little bit of joy. And that's something that we get to do with these parents, and that's a wonderful thing, an opportunity to really minister to the whole family.
Yeah, and I want to be clear here. What we're inviting is, and encouraging in this episode here, is an opportunity for you to be genuinely relational, not as an opportunity for you to provide that as something like, here's something that our church does, and it seems like people will shop around for churches like, one of the things I've talked with people when they say, like, what do you look for when you are trying to pick a church? If you're new to the area, if you just moved in, what sort of things do you look for in a church? And they would say, I'm looking for a place for my family to get plugged into. I'm looking for a place to belong. And not to view that kind of Christian community or fellowship as a offer, an offer that your church has or a spiritual service. But I think there is something genuine that comes, and I think a little bit convicting, when we ask, is fellowship as a church something your people want to prioritize?
Yeah.
Not just something that you offer, but, you know, man, there's just such a we felt very welcome coming in here. But man, do these people know how to enjoy one another's company. And I think the big hurdle on this is sometimes, especially when you're looking at a small church, a lot of times you've got larger components of families. Like thinking of two of our churches for sure, like easily half of the people in each of these churches are related to each other. So they already know each other very well. They're also relatively older. So they have had years of getting to know each other through all of this. And yet we still have members, and I mentioned it to our people, like, you might be related and you might have known each other for years, but we're not related. Like, my family isn't related to anybody, and we have members that aren't related or a part of this family.
Right.
And we have younger family members and younger students that we don't know. Like, we can't just assume that we know each other. We have to actually work at it and do stuff. And well, how does this happen? It happens naturally as you are together under the word of God. But I think the fastest way for this to happen is for you to have meals. Nothing builds relational bridges faster than sharing a meal with one another. And I think about not just potlucks at church, but you intentionally trying to reach out to all of your parents and to say, I want to get to know you better. I want you to get to know me. I want you to be comfortable to know that you are entrusting your kids' spiritual growth and development to me as coming alongside you with discipling. And I want to be transparent about kind of who I am and what I'm after and what we're after as a ministry. But I also want to hear your concerns and to take that into consideration. And I want to know you, you know, as a leader. And regretfully, I can think of a few parents that I've looked at and said, I don't want to get to know you, like, because I know your kids. And I can only assume that knowing your kid, if you are anything like your kids, this is how your kids turned out, which might mean that this is how you are. And I just kind of enter almost into an assumption that I just know we're not going to get along.
Sure.
And I regret that. I will say that there's been times where I have gotten to know those people, and you know what? They've become fast friends and people that I can consistently turn to and rely upon. But you were laughing. I mean, do you empathize with that a little bit?
No, I think you're onto a good point there. I was kind of also thinking, like, nothing unites them like a meal. And I was thinking, you want to make it either a really good or really bad one, you know, really good so you can enjoy it, or really bad so you have a solid memory that you can think of. And hopefully you're not cooking. Because then you might not be able to get them back again. But I also think this is also going back to a biblical issue, because throughout scriptures, we hear things like, they will know that they'll know your Christians by your love. But we also see, like, other passages that talk about by your love for one another. And there really seems to be this desire from God to have us as the church have an extra special connection. Yes, we're supposed to love everybody, but man, we're really supposed to love one another, right? And that happens by knowing each other too. And I think of, like, you know, there are times when we get people coming to our church asking for food and stuff. We had a food bank so that's not uncommon. But some of these people are struggling, and they're like, hey, we need money for gas, and hey, whatever thing. And a part of me is just like, you know, I so wish that you would actually take us up on, like, coming, being a part of our church. Because if you had these needs and you were a part of our church, like, you'd get the help, but it would be so much more than that. Like, you know, because we want to be a place that really loves one another, and that love is in the context of relationship. And I think this also helps you combat nobody likes to be a project, right? Like, our kids don't like to be the project. And having that time together can help the parents understand that they're not a project either. But it's just like, you know, you mentioned meals. Meals are kind of where we're at right now. I'd also love to get to a point where we've got board games that we can enjoy together. Man. We had one family. No, actually, it was two different families. And we had a couple of nights. It kind of became like a yearly thing around Christmas time where we would gather together and we'd play Loaded Questions. And we had a fireplace in our living room. We burned the answer sheets after every time so that nobody was incriminated. You couldn't take that with you, because it was like sometimes youth pastors can answer things, you know, weirdly, and they were keeping pace. It was out there and it was hilarious. And we just had such fun times, like gut side hurting laughter. And that was really special. And I would say those definitely weren't early relationships that I prioritized in that congregation. And I would even say some of them were like ones that at times I felt challenged the role of God working in their kids' lives. Like, you know, I want to do this camp thing. And they're like, no, that's maybe not the best thing. Or maybe Bible school. No, I think you could do better. You know, but still there is that genuine relationship that helped us to have bridge some of those tensions and those gaps. And it was a beautiful thing.
Right. How quickly a perceived liability in ministry turns into an asset.
Mm.
I think that's kind of what we're after. So encouragement for you to begin thinking through, like, maybe you already have a pretty good relationship with a good number of your parents in your youth group, and praise the Lord, you know, continue to foster that and even go beyond and above what you've already been doing. To encourage that, to say, you know what, I want to continue to allow this to grow and to allow that to go deeper. And I think about times when we have left the church that we were serving at just because we graduated. That was kind of the stage we were in. When we left Solid Rock to go to our internship church out in Stanley, North Dakota, you know, we left and my wife cried. Like, yeah. It was a tearful separation because we were leaving all sorts of relationships. And not to say that I wasn't crying, I was emotional, but I'm not exactly a frequent crier. But I just, man, like, all of the relationships that we continued, like, we're not saying goodbye, we're just saying see you later. We will be back, and we have gone back to visit, and we came back, and oh, it's you guys. Oh, and Solid Rock is Solid Rock. I mean, there's already a lot of people that knew us beforehand, and they're still there. But to go back to these places to see, and I think this is what you see when Paul writes his letters,
yeah.
Especially Philippians. He's like, I am just so thankful when I think about our relationship and how you continue to grow in the Lord. And to see how, you know, all of this has been moving you towards maturity, and we share the gospel with one another, and you share in my imprisonment, and I always in prayer and thankfulness turning to the Lord in intercession for you all. That's a beautiful, tremendous thing.
It is. And I think that's a beautiful place to leave this one hanging. So I do hope that it's inspired you just to consider the relationships the potential relationships that you have in your congregation, and maybe even to just help look at parents in a different way. I think sometimes it can be easy to be looking at them as obstacles, but instead just remember that they are people that are a part of the body that you're part of, and give them a chance. So with that, may you be encouraged. May you spend some time investing in your parents, inviting them into your life. Hopefully being able to find a place in theirs, and may you go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.